And looking at the temperatures, Colchester, good morning. Good morning, Colchester, down there in hot dog country. It is 39 degrees, Hartford, Waterbury, and Enfield at 41. There's no higher priority for Connecticut residents than assuring the health of state residents when officials decide how to allocate funds in the state budget, Daniel.
Well, Brad, that's part of the latest Informed CT survey,
yep,
which is done by the Connecticut Economic Resource Center. And joining us now is the president and CEO of CERC, Bob Santee. Bob, good morning, and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, Robert.
Well, good morning, guys. It's great to be with you.
This certainly is an interesting survey. Let's break it down, where 55% of state residents indicate that assuring the health of Connecticut residents was their first or second priority. Talk about that.
Right. Well, you know, we did a consumer confidence survey. We do it every quarter, actually. We've done it for about 3 years. And this year, with the budget debate going on at the Capitol, we decided, why don't we start by asking the people of Connecticut what's important to them and what we should be spending our money on? I think it's a good idea to get their opinion. So when we asked that question, we asked it about 10 things first, last quarter. And then this quarter, we said, let's take the top six answers we got and rate them 1 to 6. And so, as you say, you know, assuring the health of Connecticut residents, not really surprisingly, comes out on top. And the second most important thing, and unfortunately today's news reinforces this, is the safety of people and property in the state.
That's right.
So those are the top things that people want to spend their state's dollars on. And I think it's good for Hartford to know that.
Now, can we get those folks that we elect to spend the dollars on what the folks want?
Boy, that's the question, Brad, I'll tell you. I certainly hope so. And, you know, what we've proposed, I testified on Friday to this new Commission on Fiscal Stability and Economic Growth at the Capitol, and said to them, what we need is an outcomes-based budget, not a cost-based budget.
Right.
Rather than figuring out what we have to cut at the end of the budget process, let's figure out what we want to spend our money on. So it is called an outcomes-based approach. It's worked in other states around the country, and we hope that they'll adopt it. And most of the states that have adopted this do it when they have a new governor. So 2019 might be the year to really push for this to happen.
Well, this is very fascinating on numerous fronts, Bob. But on the other hand, we hear people, and there's going to be a big protest in Stanford on Saturday,
right,
a grassroots protest against tolls, which others view as a tax, against an increase in the gas tax. So can this be done, this prioritizing, without raising taxes in a state where people think they're already taxed to the max?
Right, right. That's a good question, but I'll tell you the way you address it. So let's look at what we spend our money on now. We know how much revenue we have based on, you know, the estimates that DRS and others put together. So we know how much we have. We're spending almost 50% of that already on debt service and other fixed costs. So we have about $10 billion to fund the priorities. So let's figure out what the top five are, and let's allocate that $10 billion to them. It may turn out that people will say, well, we have another three priorities that need to be funded. Well, then maybe we take 5 years and we look at those other priorities and find out how to fund them. But at least we'll be doing it based on data and research that's been done that talks about what our priorities should be.
You know, one of the things that is bothering people, though, the more that we figure it out, and Dan and I have been trying to do this,
yeah,
the more that we figure it out, I mean, these tolls, if you add them up, where they're going to be, and they're going to be all over, there's no doubt about it, and when you add them up, it's going to be a tremendous cost, We just had somebody on who
yes,
has a...
I heard the segment, yeah.
Yeah, and this is... How do we get over this? That's Dan's problem and my problem.
Yeah, no, I get it. I may not agree with you on this one, but what I think is, you know, what are we going to do about our transportation infrastructure? We don't want to have another bridge collapse like we did in Greenwich. So the question is, if it's a priority, do we fund it with current revenues, or do we have to come up with other revenues? And if we fund it with current revenues, what other things are we not going to buy? And that's a fair question to ask. Maybe it turns out that our investment in transportation comes out high. Now, it did not on our survey, by the way.
That's right. That was going to be my next question. Where did transportation rank in this survey?
Yeah,
and apparently it didn't.
Right. It ranked lower. You know, when we came to the setting the priorities, it ranked lower. And the question is, in reality, do we have to make investments even though it ranked lower on this particular survey?
I want to get back to the number one priority, which was assuring the health of Connecticut residents. That's such a broad-based category when you think about it. Does it mean, do they want a single-payer system here in Connecticut? Do they want better funding for the Medicare savings plan?
Yeah,
what do
right.
they want?
Yeah, you know, it's a high-level question, so it doesn't get to that level. The way I look at it is Connecticut is proud of the fact that we have some high population-level outcomes, like health, like educational attainment. We're a very highly educated state, and that's why our workforce is very competitive. We have fiscal issues we need to solve, but actually our workforce does very well for us.
You know, one of the things, though, when you take a look at Connecticut now, and I was born and raised here, when you take a look at it now, I never thought it would ever get to be this kind of a problem. And I remember, because I was there, the day of our big fundraiser, and we got that special tax that we still have, and that was supposed to solve everything. I remember the governor at the time saying, you'll never have to worry again. Well, we're in worse trouble now than we were before that.
Yep.
So what do we do?
Well, we made some bad decisions, and we postponed the pain. And so you're right. What we're seeing today is the pain that for 30 years we've avoided because we didn't fully fund pensions and, you know, health care for retirees. That's what's got us here. And there is no easy way out of it.
Bob, hang in there because a lot more to cover
this
particular survey. Brad, I know we have a traffic update, so let's get to that.
16 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to go to traffic and check it out, brought to you by Bouvier Insurance. If you haven't visited my friends at Bouvier Insurance in West Hartford, you got to get over there, and I'll tell you something. They take good care of you, and you'll save money besides. And now with the traffic, here she is, does it the best, Cindy Waitman. Cindy, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad, and watch out for delays. 84 West and exit 40 for Corbin's Corner. We had that earlier multi-car crash cleared away. We are all tied up on the eastbound side from Farmington out to I-91. Northbound 91 is busy from Silestine Highway up towards Airport Road. Southbound slowdown start at 291. 9 North is jammed up through the Aragoni Bridge stoplights. Route 8 southbound, bumper-to-bumper traffic exits 19 in Ansonia down towards exit 14 in Derby, and 2 westbound is at a crawl through Glastonbury and more delays as you approach the Founders Bridge. 291 West also gets slow into the Bissell Bridge span. This report is brought to you by Positive Coaching Alliance. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit organization, develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
18 minutes now after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning.
Brad, back in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Bob Santee, president and CEO of the Connecticut Economic Resource Center, which conducts a quarterly survey, Inform CT, and the latest survey results show the priorities among the state's residents, and this was a survey of 510 state residents conducted in December, is health and safety right at the top. Let's talk about assuring the safety of people and property, Bob. Kind of drill down on that a little bit, if you can be a bit more specific.
Yeah. I think, well, of course, you know, as I say, these are high-level questions. Let me tell you what I think, though. And unfortunately, we have another example of it today. People are worried about their safety because of things like the shooting that occurred yesterday. And I think, therefore, they make it a higher priority. At a different point, I'm not sure it would come out as high. But I think they also respect law enforcement, and they want to make sure that those types of things don't get cut out of the budget, that those are priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, again, and when you do a check around, in fact, we had the mayor of Hartford on our program yesterday, and we've got more police in Hartford, but we certainly don't have enough to cover what we have to cover. So those are some of the areas, and that's that safety area.
That's right. And so if you ask the people of Connecticut, they're going to say, we'd rather have you spend our tax dollars on that than some of these lower priorities. Mm-hmm. You know, you asked me before you went to traffic, you know, how we get this stuff done. And I must say, I've seen, as you have, many commissions that have been put into place in Hartford. But this Commission on Fiscal Stability and Economic Growth is a pretty high-powered group of people. And they're wrestling with this issue of, okay, we haven't paid our bills for years. We got to pay those old debts, and we still have to run and pay for current government programs. So, you know, they're going to come out with a report by March 1st, and I'm an optimist. I hope that they come out with some good ideas.
And for people who don't know, this commission was the result of the budget, which was passed on Halloween. Of course, that was delayed, but it was one of the parts of the budget. Now, what did you specifically say before the commission, if you can summarize it for us?
Yeah, I really was there to talk about the budget process, because if you watched what happened leading up to the Halloween budget last year, you know, you can't help but shake your head. They go back and forth arguing about a small part of the budget, which is how do we get to a balanced budget cutting another 5%, rather than talking about the 95% we want to spend. What do we want to spend that other 95% on? So I was trying to propose that we actually change the process, set priorities, get the executive branch and the legislative branch together to talk about what our priorities are, recognize how much money we have to spend, and then allocate the money to those priorities, rather than, you know, have the agencies come up with their budgets, add 5% for inflation, add enough to cover the populations that they serve. You're already, you know, you're already lost in a Byzantine process that's not going to get you to a balanced budget, because
absolutely
you're not looking
right
at your priorities.
Yep.
You think you might have gotten through? We won't know until we see the report in March, but
right.
you think you resonated?
I hope so, though. I'll tell you, some of the questions were, we know this building and how it works pretty well, and we're not sure we can get there. Huh. That's why I think it may take a new governor to do it, you know?
You know something? You just said it with the new governor situation, and that is something that Dan and I have talked about, because this whole thing about tolls, this is what we've said, the two of us.
Yeah.
We wait for a new governor, and then let's get into it and have a great discussion on it. That's
right.
What I'm afraid of, and that's what I'm afraid of for the people.
Yeah. No, I think we know we're going to have a new leader, so those of us who care about these issues really should get out and talk to those candidates about these ideas. I certainly am going to try and get to as many of these candidates as possible with the idea that we need to change the way we put our budget together in Connecticut.
Bob, talk a bit about getting back to this informed CT survey, the quarterly survey, increasing the quality of productivity of the workforce. It might not have been a top priority, but it did make the priority list.
I was really glad to see that, because if you talk to businesses in Connecticut, the quality of the workforce is the most important component of growing Connecticut's economy. You know, we're growing manufacturing jobs in Connecticut for the first time in decades, and a lot of that's because of defense spending. So that's an important component of Connecticut's growth. But we need to make sure that the workers that we have the skills these manufacturers need. So I was happy to see that it came out high. I think we need to look at the workforce system that we have in Connecticut and how we train these workers and make sure we're matching the training to what these manufacturers need.
How long will it take us to find out?
To find out the skills, whether the skills are there? I think we're working on it now. It's going to be incremental. We may have, according to CBIA, almost 13,000 openings in manufacturing. So it's going to take us, you know, a year or two to work through that backlog. And some of it will be because we train those workers. Some of it will be because we recruit them to Connecticut. These are global companies. They'll be looking outside of Connecticut. Maybe we'll actually get some people moving to Connecticut as a result.
Explain the survey. You do it quarterly. Give our audience a bit of a background, for example, of the Connecticut Economic Resource Center, Bob.
Yeah, CERC is a public-private partnership. We've been around 25 years this year, and 2018 is our 25th anniversary. We partner with the state and with the state's utilities to deliver economic development programs. So we also have a number of economists who work with us who evaluate the state's economy. So a few years back, we said there is not a consumer confidence survey in Connecticut. So we created this Informed CT, which is a partner with us, to look at these critical issues. And one of them, by the way, that I think is fascinating is we ask people how they're doing economically. You know, are you afraid you're going to lose your job? Are you making more money than you used to? And for the last 2 years, people are pretty positive about their own economic position. They're making more money. They're out there buying cars and things like that. But when you ask them about the state's fiscal situation, to go back to the other topic, they're concerned. So even though they're doing well, the state's fiscal condition hurts us, I think, in getting people to make those commitments on large purchases. The same thing happens with business owners. They then don't commit to new investment. So it's a vicious circle. That's why we've got to fix this budget problem.
So who are some of these people? Is Jim Smith one of them?
He's on the
Jim
commission.
Is the co-chair, yes.
Well, there you go.
Jim and Bob Petrocelli are the co-chairs. Yeah. And Pat Whitlitz, a former state rep, is the vice chair. She's also a great thinker. So you've got some great people on it, I'll tell you. So, you know, hopefully something good comes out of it.
Both of those that you just mentioned, though, Jim Smith, one of my favorites. I thought he would make a great governor, but I think he probably likes to do what he's doing now. And, of course, Mr. Petrocelli's another one.
Yeah.
But this is something, I think, that we've needed for a long time.
Right, right. Well, and I said to them that I'm an optimist, and I knew I wasn't the only one in the room, because all of us have been in these rooms before over the last 20 years, and hopefully this is the chance that we really have to make a change.
You know, Bob, the economists you talk about, are they optimistic about Connecticut? I know we saw some great third-quarter growth. What's their viewpoint?
Yeah, I think that the economy is growing at a good pace. I mean, we're 10 years into a recovery, and Connecticut hasn't seen it as much as the rest of the country. But when you say things like manufacturing jobs growing in Connecticut that we haven't seen in probably 30 years, that's a really, really good sign. I don't think we're going to go gangbusters, but slow, steady growth is probably what we're going to see.
Okay.
Wow, that's good news.
Well, it's an interesting survey, and you'll have another one coming out the next quarter, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Bob, very informative. Thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning.
You bet. It's great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I tell
Bye-bye.
You, Dan, this
Bye-bye.
Is what we have needed, something like this.
Wow.
We've had it for long, but, I mean, they've got some good, some pretty talented people.
Well, and I think what Bob says perhaps sums it up best, and that is you've got to prioritize rather
absolutely.
Than going in and introducing your budgets and then building in 5% for inflation. Sit down and say, look it, we've got $10 billion in fixed costs. You've got another $10 billion to work with. Let's prioritize it, and that's how you're going to spend your $10 billion. Now, easier said than done, because you've got the special interest groups out there. They're always clawing, saying, well, give us a piece of the pie, even if it's a small piece of the pie. And the next thing you know, you're chipping away at that $10 billion, and you're back to where you were at the start.
I just think on the some of the issues that we can wait. We can wait for a new governor, and I think we have to.